Hey friends, thank you for joining Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm your host, Mary, and today we have Kimberly and Cheryl joining us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thank y'all for joining us today. We are going to be discussing God's grace. And we know for a fact that in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Right, and grace is, this grace is best defined as unearned, undeserved favor given to us from God through Jesus Christ. This favor or acceptance, privilege or goodwill was actually present in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve lived in harmony with God and they disobeyed. They were separated from God's presence and cast out of the garden.
Right. Because, you know, then Jesus wasn't here yet.
That's right. And we had that harmony with God.
Yes.
We actually walked
and we
with
lost
him.
It right then. We lost it in that moment.
So since through the generations, God separated a people for himself, right? Because when they were cast out, that wasn't it for him. It wasn't, sayonara. It was, I'm going to bring you back to me.
That's right.
In such a powerful way. And so, you know, he did this. He separated, which we know the Israelites, to make himself known and through which he would bring forth that sacrifice needed to atone the world of its sin and restore all things back to himself.
That's right.
And as we know, the sacrifice born as a babe was and is Jesus our Christ, the one whom God chose to break the bonds of sin and death, bringing freedom for all men, thus wholly reconciling us back to a right relationship with God our Father.
Amen.
You know, because we're all sinners, we don't deserve to come into God's presence. And for God to call us his children, we don't deserve his blessings. And the Holy Spirit, through our faith in Jesus, we receive all these things. Now that's grace.
You know, for the grace, in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. You know, if we give our life to him, you know, we don't have to do anything. There's nothing you can do to earn grace, you know, except for asking him into our heart and being saved. That's how we earn grace.
Because it's
a gift
of love.
It's a gift
from God.
Exactly. So that gift is something that only God can give us.
That's right. And Ephesians 2, we'll start at the beginning. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature under the wrath as others were also. But God,
who
is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace.
Praise God.
He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith.
Amen. And you know, in the Hebrew, you know, listen, I don't claim to know Hebrew language, but I when I looked it up, it's spelled K-H-E-N, and it means favor, delight, charm, or beauty. That's gorgeous. I mean, that honestly is more than we deserve because, you know, listen, we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God, but he loves us enough to continue to give us that gift of grace.
Absolutely, and this gift is a gift that keeps on giving in it. Because like in Titus, it's talking about this salvation has come to us. But this salvation comes and it begins a process,
right, of
cleansing and separation where the grace and power of God are the active components. Again, his grace reached us, and it's through that same grace we receive all we need, right, to get us where he wants us to be. So again, it's him doing all the hard work.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, what we have to remember is that, you know, what do we say at that point? You know, do we continue in our sin that grace may abound? No.
Yeah.
That is not what that means. It's not a it's not a license to sin.
Right. The Bible said, you know, God's hand was extended when Jesus was born.
Exactly.
What was it the angels said? Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to people he favors.
Yes.
You know, we were at
That's
that
us.
Point. We were so favored that he gave himself for us.
Right. Well, and at that point, like we said in the beginning of the of our discussion, is that we're not under that law, you know, because of God's grace.
That's right.
Because of what Jesus did for us, we don't have to do all those sacrifices.
No, and the way it says, it explains this, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a God's gift,
right.
Not from works, so that no one can boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do.
Amen.
There's so much that we can rest in when we know that his grace is what saved us. His grace is what brings us the change and the ability
right.
to have a transformed life and a transformed mind. And I have written down, you know, so he gives us this grace along with the power of the Holy Spirit to develop, transform our thoughts, and mature us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This faith and grace, this power brings us deliverance, past, present, and future, everything we face. His grace has already made a way, development, which I have in Ephesians 1, 7 through 9, but these are the fundamental truths. He says redemption through the blood of Jesus, right, which means we belong to him, forgiveness of our trespasses. We no longer carry the burden
That's right.
of
Praise
our sin
God.
And shame, and that he, it says, richly, and we gloss over these
yes.
words
yes.
that deeply, more deeply define what it means and what he's poured out on us, and richly, meaning lavishly, elaborate, kind of goes with, you know,
right.
your grace of beauty and just in a plentiful way, he poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding.
Amen.
Which that takes me to a verse at Isaiah 43 and 10. I love the word, guys. I love
Amen.
The word.
It's our life.
Yes, it is. But he says that you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. So he don't call us into this blind faith and say, okay, here this is. You just believe in it and you just
right.
keep going and you just... No, he says, I called you and I chose you so that I can reveal myself to you, my will,
Praise
my
God.
Character, everything about me. This grace is so much more than just, you know, sometimes we scathe over it, but the topic is inexhaustible.
Right.
He talks about in the Bible the immeasurable riches of his grace, which means we don't even have the ability to measure
right.
what this really means.
We haven't scratched the surface.
We haven't. And I feel like, you know, no matter how many times we learn about this grace and this marvelous grace, we definitely need to pray for God to reveal us more, you know, more of what this means in our lives, because it will absolutely transform every way that we think, everything that holds us back from moving in greater faith,
mm-hmm.
right? If we really understood the depths of his love, what is it? To search the height and breadth and width and all that
mm-hmm.
of the love that God, so that is, to me, when he says seek,
mm-hmm.
right, and
right.
knock, I feel like that's what we're doing. God, how much do you love me?
Right.
How much? Show me more. Because when we know how much God loves us, we can love each other.
You know, grace teaches us humility when we show others grace.
Yeah, when we show others grace, you know, the love and the gifts, the other gifts that we've been given, like joy, peace, patience, it allows them to see God. He shines through us.
Amen. It's very important because, you know, we tell our kids when they're growing up, you are representing our family, so you better act right. Well, wouldn't our Heavenly Father expect the same?
Yeah, we represent.
Yes,
our Heavenly Father.
And that's what, and through us, right? The Bible tells us that through us, the church, He can show forth His glorious works and make His salvation known to all nations. Psalm 67:2 says just that, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. And He does that through us.
Right. I want all the nations to know that I'm saved.
Absolutely. And yes, we want all the nations to know the love, the grace, and the mercy of the God that Amen. Saved us, and that that same grace is then extended to all men, right?
Right.
Salvation has appeared to all men.
Yeah, because as believers, we can have confidence knowing that His grace is extended.
Absolutely, absolutely, because it's freely given. That's what I think people don't understand is that it is a gift. It is a gift given, not just, He didn't pick and choose, you know, when He said to all of us, you know, I want people to be secure. Like you said, you want to be secure and you want to know and, you know, test the waters, get out there and see, because He said, my grace is sufficient, you know, and we have to remember that.
So Jesus was sent to the cross. He died to save all of us from our sins, even though He did not deserve this suffering. He did this out of love. You know, that's what grace is.
Amen.
It's from God's love.
It is.
That's right. And as the person of grace, He lived His life as the model for a life lived from the favor of God. He knew that He was chosen by God.
Right.
And that changes also our same perspective. So we could tangibly see what this grace would produce in us if we believed, right? The same things, the same faith, the same, you know, the healing, the love, the compassion, all those things come from us believing that we are favored by God.
And, you know, that in turn means that we learn how to give grace to others, because He wants us to share the grace that He's given with us to others.
Absolutely.
What does it say? Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me.
Right.
You know, and we're supposed to love one another as we love ourselves.
All connected.
That's
a circle of grace, right?
Yes,
God
that's right.
to us to them.
Amen.
That's why, you know, we have to get rid of pride, because when we're prideful, it makes it harder to show grace toward others.
It really does. It really does. Because we can't let go of things, you know, and it makes it harder for you to move.
Absolutely.
When God wants you to move.
That's for sure.
So it kind of ties you up.
And that's what Ephesians kind of goes more in depth on verse 9, where he says, not from works. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that no one can boast.
Right, right.
No one person Mm-mm. can say that they have done or achieved anything to receive this grace.
No.
I want to tell you, my most impactful memories when I felt His grace, when I felt His favor, that love, was when I knew in my mind and in my heart that I didn't deserve it.
Right.
That's that overwhelming sense of God's presence where you're like, I mean, that's like if you robbed a bank and the police came up to you and said, oh, well, you just go ahead and you just go on and you know,
right.
you just go for it. Not to that fact. I mean, to that degree, though, because when we break the law of love, I'm not going into, obviously, we know we shouldn't steal, kill, and do all those things. I'm talking about when we refuse to forgive people.
Right.
Right? When we hold things over people and make them feel bad for what they've done. I believe that deeply displeases our Lord because
and it makes you
freely. He says, "Forgiven."
Right,
that's,
and it
has
affects
to do
you.
With pride. That's why we have to get rid of that
Amen.
Pride.
That's for
it.
Sure.
Really does. Sometimes we have to clean out our hearts and straighten up ourselves
every day,
so that we can deal with others. Right.
But one way of getting rid of that pride is like when we're faithful to God.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier.
It does make it easier, and it makes it easier. You know, having the love of Christ in us and the grace that He gives us, it makes it easier for us to say, hey, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry I acted like that. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. You know, and it also makes it easier for us to say, I forgive you.
Right.
It's okay. It keeps us from holding on to those feelings and emotions that he doesn't want us to have.
That's for sure.
Because then we feel a certain way about things that he doesn't want us to. And then other things start creeping in and causing problems.
Right. So we see this grace not only begins this process, right, delivers salvation and begins this process of separating and cleansing us,
yes,
right, of all those things that are yucky and that causes us to not be what? United.
United, yes.
United. That is the goal for all of us. And we talk about his wonderful church. So this wonderful gift brings also hopeful expectation along with guidance and direction that as this glorious grace develops in each child of God, we will be identified by yet another setting apart for himself, right? The Israelites were set apart.
Yes.
Well, we too are being set apart for himself. Thus, we have the church, the beautiful bride of his son, adorned in purity of heart, being holy and separate. That is what we are. We are going toward. He's doing all the work,
right,
but that is our goal. We want to be this beautiful. We want Jesus to look at us and say, oh, you are my beautiful, beautiful bride. All the
yes,
grace that I poured out on you, I'm getting it back because I'm seeing, you know, all the wonderful things that God
yes,
is doing in you and through you. And when we are together and we are one mind,
yes,
we see the power of God. We see his presence move in people's lives,
right,
in unbelievers' lives. You know, that there is true just power in that unity of mm-hmm, the Spirit and that unifying grace of God.
It really is. Yes. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in
that's
weakness.
Right.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may
hallelujah,
rest upon me.
That's right.
And we need that power
we
because
do,
that's what gets us through our daily walk.
That's right.
Especially in this world today.
Absolutely.
We need to keep our eyes focused on him. You know, and all the things like politics and sports and all the things that can pull us away, you know, we just have to remember grace, grace.
That's for
and
sure.
And stand on that.
And it's the exact opposite, you know. The world says strive,
mm-hmm,
fight,
right,
argue, scratch and pull hair,
mm-hmm,
and do whatever you have to do to get your way and to get where you want.
Right.
Grace says the exact opposite.
Right.
He says, my grace is sufficient for
yes,
you.
Yes.
Because my power is made
yes,
perfect in
yes, because Satan is, you know, he's the one that's causing. He said, I come to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
I'm going to come and tear your families apart.
That's
I'm
right,
going to come and tear your, just ruin your day.
Right.
You know, and we have to say, stop that. Don't do that.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, and every single one of us has been there.
Yeah.
And we have to go back and repent. We
right,
have to, you know, when we're losing it and we're having it, his grace is sufficient to faithfully forgive us of our sins and to heal our broken spirits
yes,
and get us back on track.
Yeah, it's said that, you know, fear is actually, or anger, I'm sorry, is an expression of fear.
Yes.
So.
It really is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this angry world around us.
Yes.
And where it's all coming from is from this place of insecurity,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing really of any validity to hold on to, nothing to grasp in their hands. They have no truth besides what they wake up one day and believe, and another day they don't believe. And it's just a lot of fear in the world. So when we can express this grace of God to a world that is fearful, it is something very different
mm-hmm,
to have faith in something you cannot see.
Well, that
right?
goes back to what Cheryl said earlier, that we have to let that shine through us.
Absolutely.
And when we let him shine through us, we're like a beacon
yes,
in this world. And you know, we do several things. We, by them seeing the light, of Jesus through us.
Yeah.
We irritate people or those that are ready to come to the light and to turn to Christ will come to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I want to be. I want to be in His good graces and receiving what He has for me.
Absolutely. And I do see, you know, there are great benefits to being a follower of Christ. It says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. I mean, we have all wisdom and understanding. We have insight. We have forgiveness. We have everything that we need with Him. And our willingness, I think, to receive this grace and to stay at a low place, I'm not saying, you know, staying poverty-stricken, but to keep yourself at a humble place with humble people, you can see that that grace is really more absorbed and received than in the, higher places of life.
Right.
You know, when we have faith in God and we're faithful to Him, we become more grateful for others.
That's right.
And that's the grace. They're able to see the grace that God's given.
Right. Well, 2 Peter 3:18 talks about growing in grace. We have to grow and learn just like a child learns to read and write. We have to learn how to, effectively lean on and use these gifts that God has given us.
Absolutely.
And grace is one of those that we really have to learn.
For sure.
Because, even as a little child, I mean, if I, did something wrong, my mom, if she told me to not do something, I hardly ever misbehaved. But if she told me not to do something and I did it, I, even as a small child, immediately felt remorse. And I would go to her crying and tell on myself. I should have done that more as a teenager, but I probably would have had a lot less, bruises, in my spirit. But, as we grow in faith, we're going to grow in grace. We're going to grow in those spirits, the gifts of the Spirit. I'm sorry.
That's absolutely right. And this development, it really begins as soon as we are enabled, again, by grace,
right?
To live as if His words are true.
Yes.
Because when we're living as if His words are true, we are effectively rejecting every thought, every opinion, and ideology that set themselves against the truth of God and what we know of our Lord. And this grace, it delivers us a deep and personal knowledge, an experiential knowledge of who God is and of His will and character.
Right.
So we hear about God, but we know experiencing someone, that's two different things. So one is based off secondary experience or information, but personal experience is what cultivates intimacy and deep connection, right?
That's right.
So He uses His grace to reach us deeper than just all these superficial things that the world just kind of clings onto, the spiritualists and, and the universe and all, and it's all floating out there. And they're just kind of, keeping themselves entertained with, these thoughts and beliefs. But he's a person.
Yeah.
And He comes to us through
this
grace and through this revealing of who He is. And it's because of that that we can say, I know Jesus.
Amen.
I know Him, and I know He loves me, and I know He loves you.
I know that. I know He loves me.
I know He loves me.
That's right. Now I just got to tell the nations that I'm saved, and then I have grace. As we come to a close in our podcast, I just want us to convey how important grace is, and I hope that we've done that. Yeah. I hope that we have touched your hearts, and get in there and study, get in there and look up these scriptures and see, you know, and you can find more. Yeah. You know, we have examples in Esther and Ruth and, you know, Jacob and Esau and all of these different Bible stories that we read.
That's right.
And they're real people.
Right.
They're real people that these things have happened to, just like we are real people.
Right.
And we go through all manner of things. But praise God for His grace.
Absolutely. And it's what changes our lives.
Amen.
And we wouldn't have Jesus. We wouldn't have anything. And that's what I love about that scripture where, you know, it says salvation appears to all men.
Yes.
And it's through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Which debunks any kind of theology that you can get to God through
any other way,
because he was born as a babe. That alone was God's hand to us, extended towards man. So without Jesus, there is no hand. There's nothing for you.
There's no bridge.
That's right.
And if we don't have that bridge, we're not making it.
That's right. And it's very important with grace, too. I feel very heavy-hearted to see Christians who walk around feeling condemned.
Yes.
And I just want to take a moment to say there is therefore no condemnation. There is just none.
There is,
you are forgiven and you are saved and you are bought with a price. And
Why we have to give grace to ourselves, not just to others.
Right.
And sometimes that's the hardest to
it
do.
Is
give
you
ourselves
are absolutely
grace.
Right.
We're harder on ourselves sometimes than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, if we feel like we've let someone down or we've disappointed someone, or at least I struggle with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to let people down. And,
yeah.
And, but sometimes you're going to.
You are, because you're flawed.
That's
We're
right.
We're all flawed.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's where grace comes in.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And forgiveness.
Yes. All of it together.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you guys so much for being in the studio with us today. You know, we usually, this season we're having our guest do the ending prayer. So would you, Kimberly, mind doing our prayer?
Would love to. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to come together in your name, Father, to talk about the wonderful gift of grace that you extended to us through Jesus. Father, I pray that you just open our hearts to receive the truth and deeper truth of this grace that you have given to us. Father, I pray a special prayer for anyone who is feeling overloaded or weighed down, feeling like that they can't escape maybe a choice that they have made or an error that they have done or something they have said. But Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that your comfort and your love and that grace that draws us out of those dark places, Father, begin to draw these people from these places where they feel they cannot continue in this development. But Lord, you have done the hard work, and all we do is believe that you have given it to us and we receive it. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and I pray that your name be glorified in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts, everything that we say and do. Father, let your name be lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again, ladies, for joining us. And we just want to remember, I want all of you to think about this week, is God's grace is sufficient. So thank you for joining us today. If you haven't subscribed to the Messiah's Misfits podcast, make sure to do that so you do not miss an episode. Make sure to leave us a review so others can find our podcast.